Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to dismiss for Children's Church now, too. I have a short announcement, but if you have a child in the age bracket, 5 through 3rd grade, it's been a while since I've had to announce that, so I forget. While that's happening, just in the way of, I forgot to mention this last week, but I was going to skip the Super Bowl, and I had a little picture to explain why, so here's why I was going to skip the Super Bowl last week, but my wife talked me out of it last time. All right, everybody, I'm kind of glad the NFL season's over a little bit, all right? Kind of had enough of that. All right, on to serious business. Amen. One thing in the way of announcements before we pray and get into our preaching. You know, one of the things that is very important to us here at Redeemer is discipleship. Discipleship is the idea that when a person becomes a Christian, we don't just stay stagnant. What we find in the Word of God is that people are growing. Now, we're all in different places in that growth, and we want to be super compassionate and understanding about where people are at, and I pray that that's your experience here. We're all on this place trying to, we're on our way to heaven, if you're a Christian this morning, and that is a crooked, broken path, amen? All right. And so one of the things that's important, you know, we have Sunday mornings. Those are important. We grow here. We learn. We become more like Christ, we pray, as we listen and we hear good preaching and we're challenged to change. We try to do that every week. We also have, as part of our discipleship, like more intimate opportunities like small groups and Bible studies. Many of you are involved in those things. Those are great places to go a little bit deeper, right? You get to ask questions that maybe you wouldn't ask. You get a challenge. If I said something stupid, you can ask that question in small group, you know, and work those things out. Those are important for our growth, that we have those more intimate levels. But one of the things that we recognize at Redeemer that we haven't really done a great job promoting, and that is those really intimate relationships, all right? And we find these very important in the Bible, but I've found them very important in my own life. I think about, you know, 25 years ago or so, when I first became a Christian, I had a group of like 4 guys. We called it the Poached Egg Club, you know, and we would meet together on Tuesday mornings, and we would order poached eggs from, I think it was Rudy's back then, or who knows the name of it, and we would talk intimately, deeply, theology. We would ask each other hard questions. How are you doing with your finances? What have you been looking at on your telephone, right? How are you treating your spouse? Hard questions. The truth is that's where so much growth occurs, right? In these intimate relationships. They're a little scary because you get exposed, and that's why a lot of times we tend to avoid them, but they are very important. You look in the Bible, they're very important. I think about Paul and Timothy in particular. Paul was kind of a mentor to Timothy, and Paul knew a lot about what was happening. He knew that in Timothy's life, he knew that Timothy was kind of a fearful guy by nature. He was kind of cowardly. You read the letters to Timothy. He knows that he was sick. He knows all these details about Timothy's life. Well, how did he find those things out? In intimate relationships. And so what we want to do is, the truth is about these kind of relationships is you can't really just conjure them up. They usually happen naturally. And so our ministry that we're trying to, what we want to do to help you is more, again, of an equipping ministry. You know, a lot of times people get together, but if we just talk about the Bears game or whatever, the NFL, Taylor Swift sagas, right, that's not really growing. And so what we want to do is help you in these intimate relationships. How do I make those things of spiritual value? So our main ministry here is an equipping resource, and what we want to do is help you. We have accountability questions. We have resources about books and things that you can read together. If maybe you're a bunch of guys with young children, you want to read a parenting book or how to be a good father, those sorts of things. We're here to equip you, but we want to see you take those next steps. We all have those friends that are the 3 a.m. in the morning friends. At least we should. And that's really what we're talking about here. But we want it to be more than just about talking about money and stuff like that. We want to talk about spiritual things. So we want to help you to do that. So we'd ask you that you'd reach out to us. So we're going to be out front talking. We'd be willing to talk to you about maybe some resources and things like that. Dan and I will be out there. but also maybe you don't have anybody you connect with, you have connected with, and you're looking for that relationship, we also would want to help you do that. That's important. So there is a sign-up sheet. If you're saying, hey, I'd really like this, but I don't know where to start, we would get you plugged in with somebody that you can start doing this. It's just an important relationship. They're natural relationships. It doesn't mean you have to meet every week. It doesn't mean you have to be doing a certain regimen, but there need to have these kind of relationships. It's important. These kind of one-on-one, two-on-two, three people meeting and getting real about life. So please come out and see us afterwards. There'll be more about this. This is important to us, but we want to push into that dynamic of our growth at the church. My next thing is to pray and then get out of the way. So let's pray together. And as Ben comes, and he's going to share the word with us this morning. Let's pray. God, I pray that we don't just do church. I guess that's my prayer coming out of the discipleship thing. You know, the Christian life is not a life where we just kind of come on Sunday and then that's it. That's not what the Bible teaches us. This is trying to grow and know the God who created us, the God, if you're a Christian today, the God who has saved you in intimate, powerful ways. And in that, God has called us to, you know, called us with these people around us, the people around us right now. It's called the church. And I just pray for God's church this morning, in particular the Redeemer, but we pray for all the churches here in town, that God's people would seek his face. And now as we get ready to hear the word, God, that even this morning, individual lives, that we wouldn't be thinking about the person to the side of us or in front of us or behind us or some other thing that's going on in our lives that's maybe occupied our mind, that you would help us to focus in. God, this is your word, your truth, God's word. God has revealed his truths to mankind. These are not just nice ideas. These are from you, and they're meant for our good and for our joy so that we can experience the most out of this life. So God, help us now as we come with sin and all kinds of our own problems. Help us to understand that this is a God who welcomes us here to this table, but it is a God who's serious about getting a hold of our lives and changing us. So God, give us a fear, but also a sense of anticipation as we hear your word. We'd ask that you would do great things this morning. Thankful for Ben being willing and available, and just pray for him to preach with clarity and passion. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello, hello. Hey, there I am. Hey, good morning. How are you? Good. You can turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as you're getting there, I just want to mention we had a group that was out at a biblical counseling training conference last week. And we had about 13 people or so, most from our church, a couple people that were connected to our church but not within our body. And it was a wonderful week. Lots of fellowship among the group, but also great training in biblical counseling. And the reason I say that is because as a church, we're very committed to biblical counseling. We believe wholeheartedly that the Bible has all the answers for life's problems, right? And so because of that, we are very serious about counseling. And so we're serious about caring for our church, but also for our community. We want our community to know here in Winterset we offer free counseling because, like, we all need help at times, right? Amen? I thought maybe more people would say amen to that. I've been in counseling before, and there's like a 99% chance that before I die I'll be in counseling again. And so there's no stigma about that, but we're committed to it, and we love it, and so we're thankful for that. But to 1 Corinthians 12, we have been in a series going through the book of 1 Corinthians. We preach expositionally, so that's passage by passage, verse by verse, and we preach what's in the scriptures. And so most recently, we've been talking about spiritual gifts. In the past several weeks, we've talked about like specific types of gifts. And I thought it would be helpful just to give you a definition of a spiritual gift. I think defining terms is good. I think it's helpful. This definition comes from Pastor J.D. Greer in a book he wrote on the Holy Spirit. But he defines a spiritual gift as an unusual effectiveness in a responsibility given to all believers. A spiritual gift is an unusual effectiveness in a responsibility given to all believers. So note at the end of that, the spiritual gifts are given to believers. So if you have a relationship with Jesus, if you're a Christian, then God has given you a gift. You may not know what they are exactly, but God's given you one, maybe even several. And so today we're going to be talking about how our responsibility as Christians is to use our gifts in the body of Christ. Now, if you're here and you're new to Redeemer or you're new to Christianity, or maybe you're just going like, I'm not sure that I have a gift because maybe I'm not sure I know Jesus, don't check out. We're really glad you're here. Like, you're in a really good place. And so there's stuff for you in here as well. But the big idea I want to give you this morning is that all believers must use their spiritual gifts for the church's good and the glory of God. All believers must use their spiritual gifts for the church's good and the glory of God. And notice I said that believers must use their gifts. That's intentional. This isn't like a if you feel like it sort of thing. If you know Christ, God has called you to use your gifts. So let's read. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to start in verse 12, and I will read all the way through verse 26. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and on our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Let me pray, and we'll dive in. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. It's a privilege to own a copy of your word. It's a privilege to be able to have a free app on our cell phones that allows us to access your word at any time. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would speak through your word into our hearts. Give me clarity, keep me from error, and Lord, do something that only you can do, a powerful work for all of us who need to change in some way, Lord. And I pray this in your name, amen. So I want to talk about three guidelines as we use our spiritual gifts in the church. Our big idea is that all believers must use their spiritual gifts for the church's good and the glory of God. And so I think this passage gives us three things that will guide us as we seek to do that. So number one, the first thing to know is that unity is essential. Unity is essential, and we see that in verses 12 through 13. I'll read it again quickly. It says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. What word do you hear repeated in those verses? One, yeah. One body, one spirit. So in this verse, and even down in verse 26, we see this idea in verse 25, like we need to be one body with no division and unified. So there's a real temptation, I believe, for us when we use our gifts to maybe do that in a way that can be divisive in the church, to do it in a way that doesn't unify the church. And we've got to be on guard. That's not God's plan. In this passage, the Apostle Paul he's comparing the human body to the body of Christ. He's using the human body as an illustration for the church. And our physical bodies are made up of many individual parts, but all the individual parts make our bodies complete, right? And so if we lose a part of our body, our bodies are incomplete. Several years ago, we were at a graduation reception for Levi Gerwell. He was, I think it was a combined deal with another guy that was graduating. And I was walking with my son, Dawson. Some of you know Dawson. Some of you learned about Dawson on Facebook a few weeks ago, too. He didn't go far, and he wasn't gone long. But I'm walking with Dawson, and there's this guy who, he's had his leg amputated below his knee. He's on a prosthetic leg, and he's wearing shorts, so it's obvious. And Dawson knows no stranger, and he's never once, like, passed up an opportunity to speak his mind. So we're walking by this guy. We don't know him. Like, I have no idea who he is. And Dawson just goes, "Hey, what happened to your leg?" He's, like, shouting at this complete stranger, and I'm just, like, I'm horrified. Like, I don't know this guy. So, like, any normal person, I didn't make eye contact, just kind of pushed him along, you know, like, not socially acceptable to do that. But it was obvious to a three-year-old that his body is incomplete. He's missing part of his leg. So in the same way as our physical bodies can be incomplete, the body of Christ is made up of many different members with various gifts. We don't all have the same gift, and that's by God's design. And when we don't use our gifts, the body of Christ is incomplete and can be ineffective. If we're inactive, the body of Christ can become ineffective. You know, I would want to point out that in this chapter, all the way through verse 27, the word body is used some 16 times. So that's a big deal. Paul is repeating that by inspiration of the Holy Spirit for a reason, because our spiritual gifts are not just for us. They're not just for me. Yours are not just for you. They're for the body of Christ. Now, also, one thing that's interesting in verse 13 is it talks about that we're in one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. So now we're talking about baptism. What does that mean? In this passage, what is baptism talking about? We're pretty familiar with water baptism. We do that here at Redeemer. We baptize believers by immersion. We dunk them underwater. But that's not what this verse is talking about. Verse 13 is talking about spirit baptism, and this happens when you become a believer in Jesus Christ. So we're not all born believers in Christ. We're not all born members of the family of God, but if you've had a time when you place your faith in Christ, you turned away from your sins, you agreed with God that you are sinful, and you turned away, you believed in Jesus by faith, then you were baptized into the body of Christ. You were immersed, brought into the body of Christ, and because of that, we can be one. Like, we're all very different, but we can be one with all these different gifts. And unity does not mean uniformity, right? And that's obvious. Like, we're not all the same. God didn't give us all the same gifts. And actually, it's very interesting, as I studied, almost every commentary I read talked about unity through diversity. Unity in diversity. And it is, like, never happened before that, like, one, like, all the commentaries say the same thing. So when they do, look out. I think they're onto something. But here's the point. Here's what I want you to know. When you use your gifts to build up the body of Christ, that leads to unity. But when you use your gifts to build up yourself, that leads to division. So here's how I struggle with that. You guys know Michael Adrian, right? He's not here today. He's with our youth at some junior high boys at a winter retreat. So pray for them. They've had a great weekend. But Michael has preached here several times on Sunday mornings, and he teaches at GCR very regularly. Michael is a gifted communicator of the Word of God. And he works very hard to teach and preach the Word faithfully. And he's been a blessing, right? I hope you guys believe that. But here are the thoughts I had one day as he's preaching. These are totally unsanctified thoughts. He's preaching, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, why didn't they ask me to preach? Like Michael's great. I love Michael, but I like to preach. Why didn't they ask me? And those are bad thoughts. Like, where do those come from? Like, that's rooted in my heart of pride. Like, I want to use my gift. But you know what? It's good for the church that Michael preaches. And if the church said, hey, we don't want you to preach ever again, like, I should be okay with that because it's not about me. But if I let those thoughts go, that leads to a root of bitterness in my heart. It leads to division in the church, and those are bad things. So it's not about us. It's not about our gifts. It's not about building a platform. So whose glory are you seeking when you serve? However God has gifted you, whose glory are you seeking? Do you do it because you want someone to tell you you do a good job? Or do you do it just to serve the Lord and serve the church? This last week out at the Biblical Counseling Conference, in the track I was in, Dr. Kevin Carson taught a session on Christians and the social internet. It was very fascinating. I'm mostly completely unplugged from Facebook. Or any sort of social media. I have a Facebook account, but I'm never on there. So if you're trying to get a hold of me on there, it's probably not personal that I'm not getting back to you. I'm just kidding. But we live in this world where it's like there's this, like, almost everybody is on social media. Like, they had some statistics, like, except for countries where there's, like, no access, almost everybody's doing some sort of social thing on the internet. And so this session was on, like, how do we counsel Christians to behave like Christians on social media? There's this growing problem, like, we don't always behave like Christ. And the statistics were astounding, not really surprising, but astounding in some ways. But they're on social media, there's this growing desire to create content or post something that people are going to like or share or, you know, get people to follow you. We have influencers all over the place that are growing up. And I'm not saying any of that's bad, but I think there's a tendency for that desire to flow in other areas of our life. So when we serve the Lord with gifts that God has given us for the church, there's a temptation that it could become about us. And it shouldn't be. So do you rejoice when you see a brother or sister in Christ serving in ways that you would want to serve? Or is there a spirit of competition? These sorts of things tear down the church. There is no room for self-promotion in the body of Christ. We can't have any of that. So as we use our gifts, first of all, we need to remember that unity is essential. But number two, we need to embrace and use the gifts that God has given us. We need to embrace and use the gifts that God has given us. You know, have you ever struggled to identify your gift? Or maybe you've been jealous of a gift, like someone has a gift that you wish you had. You see them doing something, serving the Lord in some way, and you think, man, I really wish I had that gift. Going back to our illustration in the passage, looking at verses like 14 through 20, it talks about, like, maybe God has made you a foot and you want to be a hand. Right? And so you're tempted to think that because you're not like that person who has a gift that you wish you had, that somehow you're like a second-rate member of the church. Like, maybe you're not as important, or God can't use you as powerfully. Maybe you want to be an eye, but God's made you an ear. You know, the devil loves this sort of thinking. He He loves this trap because he wants us to be ineffective. And when we're coveting and jealous about the gifts that other people have, we're not using ours. And the devil wins and the church doesn't grow. So we need to embrace the gifts that we have and use them. Don't be tempted to believe a lie. Satan makes them sound very good, but they're lies. Things like, if I had that gift, I'd have more joy and I'd be more effective for Christ. Because that's just not true. The most joy and the most effectiveness we could have is when we're living and using the gifts that God's given us. Not something else that God hasn't given us. We're essentially, when we do that, saying that God messed up. God gave us the wrong gift. That God's not actually sovereignly in control. He messed it up and I should have a different gift. And that's actually a form of rebellion rooted in pride. But also, another thought I have is, have you ever thought you had a gift that you actually didn't have? You know, there's some comical illustrations of this. Maybe you've seen some of those infamous American Idol auditions. I don't watch American Idol. I don't know if people actually still watch American Idol, but maybe you've seen these people who no one ever told them that they actually couldn't sing. Like, someone needed to have a very real conversation. It was not loving that no one ever told them they couldn't sing. Maybe you were the person on the sports team who thought you were good and you weren't. I've been there. I won't tell you that story, but I do want to share a bit of my own story with you because I think it illustrates this. I grew up in a Christian home. I came to know Jesus as a young boy. Grew up in the church. My parents, to this day, still are active members at Saylorville Church, and so we were there, my brothers and I, all the time. And when I was in junior high and high school, just really plugged into the youth group, and it was a formative time in my life. I learned a lot. I grew a lot. I really enjoyed those years. And in high school, I began to get a sense that maybe God was calling me to some sort of like full-time vocational Christian ministry, and even made a commitment that if God called me to that, I would do it. And so I made this assumption in my heart that because God had used the youth group in my life in so many ways, that maybe God was calling me to youth ministry. And so after high school, I went to Bible college, and I got a youth ministry degree, assistant pastoral, with an emphasis in youth ministry. And the summer after I graduated from college, Holly and I got married, and we became part of Living Waters Fellowship, our sister church on the south side of Des Moines. They needed someone to lead worship. They were a very new church. So I went to lead worship, and as I was talking with Josh Daggett, who's their pastor, I remember saying, like, well, I believe God wants me to do youth ministry. And he said, well, we don't have a youth group, but we're not against that. You know, we just don't have one yet. And so we got plugged in. I started leading music and trying to do youth ministry things. And a few years in, Pastor Josh, who's the lead pastor, and then Andy Biddle, who's the counseling pastor, they asked to meet with me, and that was not really abnormal. We met frequently, I guess. So we sat down, and I'll never forget this day. We sat down at Hy-Vee on Park Avenue on the south side of Des Moines, and they started out, and they said, Ben, we really believe that you're called to ministry. But then they said, but. And you all know that, like, if you got to say something hard to somebody, you try to soften that blow. Let's affirm something first, right? And so all of a sudden, I'm like, this seems to be going somewhere that I didn't see it going. So they said, we believe you're called, but we have serious questions about whether you're called to youth ministry. And like, that rocked my world. It rocked my world. And I laugh about it now because those of you who know me well are like, yeah, everybody could see it but you. But I didn't see it. And I'm a people pleaser at heart. So, like, I said all the right things in the meeting. But when I got out of there, like, I was in my car driving to work, the things I was thinking and maybe even saying to myself out loud, they weren't the right things. They were not good things. Things like, who do they think they are? Like, I have a degree. Like, I got a college degree in this. Like, a 22-year-old has any idea what they're actually going to do with the rest of their life. And my world was rocked. I mean, I had, like, no idea what was going on. And they were so loving. Like, they hung in there with me. And over time, I began to realize, like, they're right. Like, I'm not actually called to that. You know, when I think about youth pastors, youth ministers, like youth people, they need to have a lot of different qualifications. There's biblical qualifications and things like that, but typically they're like energetic, outgoing. They like to play games and do things like that. Like, none of that is me. Like, just not. I am not like a fun-loving extrovert. I'm naturally just kind of like a grumpy introvert. Like, and that's not good. Like, that's a fallen part of me. Grumpy is not a fruit of the Spirit. But there were so many reasons that everybody could see that, like, this was not going to work. And I was at a crossroads. Like, I really had a decision to make. Like, was I going to trust the people that God had put in my life to shepherd me, or was I going to say, forget you guys, I'll take my ball and go home? Like, I'll go find somewhere else that wants me to do this. And by God's grace, that's not the decision I made. And I don't tell you this story to make myself look good, because it truly was just God's grace that led me to be humble and to stay in there. And what I found was, as they began to shepherd me towards the things God had called me to do, it was like, wow, those are a fit. Like, Andy Biddle began to have me sit in a counseling room. And I just sat there in the corner, and I didn't say anything. I just, like, I'm observing how he met with people, how he counseled people. And it's like, that fits. You know, they began to help me, let me do administrative things. Like, that worked. All this stuff that I thought I was called to do that really didn't fit, like, now all of a sudden this fits. So what's the point? The point is, we're not always very good at identifying our spiritual gifts. And that's a community project. That's why we need a church. And we need to be willing to do what my pastors at Living Waters did, like, have a conversation that could be uncomfortable. We need to help people. And it's also dangerous when we decide that God's called us to something without getting the church and other people in our lives to confirm it. That's one of the things I learned that I'll never forget. It's like, I just assumed that because I thought I should do that, that's what God wanted me to do. And it really wasn't. But look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. That should be comforting to all of us. Like, if you're tempted to believe that you should have a different gift, or maybe someone's telling you, like, hey, that gift you think you have, you just really don't have it. Like, know that God has arranged you in the place he wants you to be. And your greatest joy will be when you live there and honor God there. So we need to embrace God's goodness. We need to embrace his sovereignty. He reigns over everything, including the gifts that he's given us. God didn't make mistakes. He didn't get it wrong. So wholeheartedly and joyfully embrace what he's called you to and use your gifts to serve in the church. So unity is essential. We need to embrace and use the gifts that God has given us. And then thirdly, the last point is we need every member of the body of Christ. And you can find this idea in verses 21 through 26. The passage is very clear. We can't say to other members of the body of Christ that we don't need them. We can't do it. One commentator said this: if you were all eye or all hand, you would not be a body, you would be a freak show. In the same way, if everyone was a teacher or a miracle worker, but nobody was prophesying or helping, you wouldn't have a church, you would have a madhouse. Bodies and churches only thrive when the full range of their members is recognized, released, and celebrated. Interdependence is built in. God has designed it that way. So whether we like it or not, we need each other. And this is hard. Like, I'm a pretty independent guy in some ways. Like, if I could get it done, I don't want you to help me. Like, I'll just do it. But that's not how God designed us to do life. He wants us to be dependent on other people. We're better together. The whole church working together, serving together. You know, spiritual gifts, some of them function in front of people, kind of in the limelight. They're visible, up on a stage, so to speak. Things like preaching and teaching, maybe teaching Sunday school, leading a small group or a Bible study. There's lots of things that are more visible in the church. But many other gifts are not so public. They're not so visible. But they are in no way less important than the ones that we see on Sunday mornings. You know, there are so many things that go on in the church outside of what happens here on Sunday morning. And the body of Christ will only flourish as every member is using its gifts all the time as God has designed them to use them. So if you have a more visible gift, you got to be on guard. Don't be proud. Like, the church could go on without you. And when we don't believe that, that's a bad place. I've been there. It leads to bad things. And if you have a gift that's not as visible, that functions in the background, like, you need to know, like, you are just as important as the person who stands up here and preaches. Because there is so much that goes on. Our church is full of people serving in ways that no one sees, but we would be lost without it. So I was just thinking through some of them yesterday. Think about, like, meal ministries. We've had a lot of that go on in the last 6 months, and because I kind of help behind the scenes, I see these things. We send out this Take Them a Meal link, and it's like they're full in no time. Like a half hour, and people have dinner for 2 or 3 weeks. And, like, we don't phone this stuff in. When we make somebody a meal, we make them a meal. Like, you can see it on there, like, what they're bringing over. And I'm like, I want to go to their house and have dinner. Like, that looks really good. Like, we're not just whipping up some hamburger helper. Like, here's a 3-course meal. Like, holy smokes, that's great. And that's a big, you might not think, like, that's you might not think that's important. But you're really blessing someone in a time of need. Maybe they've just had a baby. Maybe they've lost a family member. Who knows what it is, but not having to worry about dinner is a big deal in their life at that time. I also think about the nursery, children's ministries. Like, you might not think that it's a big deal whether you serve in the nursery or not, but it is. And this isn't a guilt trip for more people to serve in the nursery, unless the Holy Spirit just wants to move that way. That's out of my control. You know, it's not glamorous. And, like, honestly, it may not be fun all the time. And can we just be honest? Like, changing some kids' diapers, like, I struggle to change my own kids' diapers. Like, if it's not my kid, whoa. Who wants to do that? But God uses you. And think about it. Like, you have young parents or parents, maybe specifically a mom, who hasn't really had a break all week. And she can come drop her kid off and know they're being cared for. And she can listen to the word. I mean, it's tiring raising kids. My wife literally has a t-shirt that says #tired on it. And when she wears it, it's like, all right, message received. Like, I get it. That message in the original language is like, Ben, I'm not picking up after you today. You know, like, it's just very clear. I'm worn out. And so these parents can come to church and know that their kid's being cared for and sit under the word of God. What a big deal. And we know that not everybody uses our nursery, and we're okay with that. Like, that's great. But we want to be a blessing that way if we can be. And so when you're serving, you're doing God's work. What about, like, greeting somebody in the foyer? Like, just saying hello. Like, someone you've maybe never met. You might not think that's a big deal, but you might be the only person who says hi. And God might use you to be the connection that brings them back another time. These are little things that nobody sees, but they're a really big deal. So look at verse 22. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Like, these unseen ways of serving the Lord and serving the church are a really big deal. So don't ever be tempted to think that because you don't serve in the spotlight, what you do is not essential. That's just not true. And think about the illustration of our physical bodies again. You know, as a metaphor for the church, we can lose some prominent parts of our body and still survive. I told you about the guy Dawson was talking to. He didn't have a leg. He was missing a leg, and he seemed to be doing pretty good. But there are, like, internal organs that if there's no transplant, if there's no medicine, game over. Welcome to eternity, right? Where it's not good. And so these things that aren't seen in the body of Christ, if we lose those, that's bad. So we love people who serve in the background. So a few exhortations before we begin to wrap up. If you serve in a public way, and I'm talking to myself, guard your heart against pride. Listen, God doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. This church and the body of Christ will continue without us if that's what God wants. But if you serve behind the scenes, be really encouraged. You are so essential. And God needs you. The church needs you. The other question I would say is, if you're a member or a regular attender at this church and you're not serving, can I just ask you why? In the scripture reading, Josh read 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him, to God, belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So if you're not using your gift, 1 Peter says you're a poor steward of the grace of God. And that might not sound very kind. I'm sorry, that's what God's word says. If you're not serving and you're a Christian, that is not how God wants it to be. I'll never forget talking with Abe Miller. He's one of the pastors at Sailorville. He actually, when I was in the youth group, was a youth pastor 15 years ago or so. He transitioned to being the pastor of administration. So when we get to reconnect, we'll talk about church administration, and I learned from him. You know, and there are moments, I think for any of us who serve, there are moments as we use our gift where we can be frustrated, right? Like moments where we just kind of want to, like, throw in the towel. And it's that way for me in church administration. I have my moments. And Abe always, he's said it several times, like Ben, God's given you a gift, and you're not obeying the Lord if you don't use it. And that lands. And it's not because my gift is any different than anybody else's. The challenge is for all of us that we don't use the gifts that God's given us. We're not obeying the Lord. And I hope you want to be obedient. So as we close, this really has been very much focused on the church, serving in the church, spiritual gifts. Maybe you're new here. Maybe you don't know for sure if you're a Christian. And as I said, spiritual gifts are something that are given to Christians. I would just encourage you, like, the thing that you should do is not try to figure out what your gift is. If you're not sure that you know Christ, the best thing that you could do is talk to somebody about that. Like, your spiritual gifts will sort themselves out once you are a Christian. You need to know that you're a sinner. We're all sinners, every one of us. And Christ died for our sins. He rose again, and he offers forgiveness if you will repent. Repentance is like, I'm chasing sin in myself, and I'm going to turn from that, and I'm going to put my faith and trust in Christ. And when you repent, you believe in Jesus, you're saved, you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, you're brought into the church, into the family of God. And so the best thing you could do today, if you're not sure about that, is to talk to somebody. We would love to talk to you. I'll be over here after the service, we'll have another gal over there as well who would love to have a conversation with you or talk or pray, because that's really important. And if you're a believer in Christ, like, I would just encourage you, like, open this passage back up this week and read through it. Like, there's a lot there. There's a lot to apply, and we should be serious about being doers of the word. So I'm going to pray, and then I got just a few more things before we dismiss. Let's pray. Father, your word is good, and you're faithful to use it in our lives, Lord. And so I pray for people here who maybe are hearing about spiritual gifts for the first time, or they've been hearing this over the last few weeks, and they're just like, I don't get that. I don't even know if I'm a Christian. Like, we're so glad they're here, and I pray that they would talk to somebody today, one of the pastors, someone up here at front. Lord, I pray that you do a work in the lives of those who may not know Jesus and need to know Jesus. That is their greatest need ever, is that they would know Christ. Lord, for those who are Christians, I think of people maybe who aren't serving. Lord, I pray that you would use them, challenge them to get serving. And I don't want to heap guilt on people who are already serving. And maybe you're at a full capacity in the way they serve. That is not the intention. But for those who aren't, Lord, I pray you would work in them, make all of us more faithful and more obedient to Jesus. And we thank you for your word and for your grace. Pray this in your name, amen. So before we go, just a few quick things. I mentioned we'll have some people over here. If you want to talk, if you got a need, we would love to talk with you. We would love to pray with you, whatever that might be. And as I said, if you don't know Jesus, I'll just say it one more time, like, talk to somebody before you go, because that is so important. If you know Christ, do you know what your spiritual gift is? Like, I think it's very legitimate that we just sometimes don't know. And so here's the advice I would offer. They're actually on the info table out there. There's a handout about, like, spiritual gifts. I would encourage you to get that and read it. But also, I listened to a seminar a few weeks ago by Pastor Mark Vance. He's the lead pastor at Cornerstone Church in Ames. Used to be on the pastoral staff at Sailorville. He taught a module at Sailorville on the Holy Spirit and gifts of the Spirit, like, all of this stuff. It was really great. You can find it on Sailorville's YouTube page. But one of the things he said is that inactive people will not be able to discover their gifts. And so if you don't know what your gift is, just go get involved. Like, find a need and get involved. It may not be your gift, but you'll rule it out. And then you can get plugged in somewhere else. Like if you're just sitting around, like, God's not going to write it in the sky. You know, like, you're not going to have a dream where God says you should do this. I mean, I guess you could. I'm not going to say no. But that's probably not going to happen. You just need to get actively involved, and we would love to help you get involved. There are lots of ways. And in all this, I think one of the last things I would say to Christians is we talk about spiritual gifts and serving the way that God has called us. And I think there are times that God maybe asks us to serve in ways that aren't our favorite. Like, God might ask us to serve in a way that isn't our gift. Like it doesn't energize you, right? You know, like the nursery. I mentioned the nursery or children's ministry. You might not be filled with energy by watching a whole bunch of kids, right? And I know I'm kind of maybe on thin ice because my wife's not here today. Her son is sick, but she's probably, like, wondering when the last time I helped in the nursery was. So I'm a big dude on thin ice. But the illustration is, if I wasn't in here most Sundays, I could help in the nursery even though I might not be super gifted at, like, children's ministry, right? And so sometimes the church just needs us to get involved and serve. You know, you might not love coming early to set up or staying late to tear down after church, but you could do that in obedience to Christ. And so as there are needs, get involved, serve in the church. It honors God, and, you know, you have lots of joy as you do it. So that's all I have. Thank you so much for coming. We want you to know you're loved. We're so glad you're here. As I said, if we can minister to you in any way, please come talk to us. But I hope you have a great afternoon. Thanks for coming. You're dismissed.